Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. My name is Matt Hudson from What I Watched Tonight, and joining me from across the pond as ever, this guy can put me in a trap. It's John Burke from BurkeReviews.com. How are you, sir?
That was rough. I'm pretty good, man.
I tell you, it's all on the mic. It's all on the mic. It's not scripted. I feel like it would lose its real spontaneity if we scripted them. How are you doing, sir? You keeping Florida safe and well?
Oh, I'm doing what I can here over in Florida. It rained real hard right before we were recording this. Like, I was almost home, and then it just, like, torrential downpour kind of thing. But I got to go back. We're recording on a Wednesday, which we don't usually do, and I have class in a couple hours. I'm pretty sure it's my last semester of night classes, though, so that's kind of fun. But
oh, Christ, yeah, I remember you've got classes today. We do, as you guys know, we talk off air, and we've just been talking for the longest time about another film, which we're going to discuss at great length in a week or so's time. When we should have been talking to you guys about this week's film. It's not raining over here. I can say that right now, but it is that delicious, crisp, fresh autumn weather. It's not quite golden on the floor just yet with the leaves, but my man, we're getting there. It's spooky season. And we've said in previous weeks that we've been on a bit of a run recently where we've covered films which maybe haven't been our favourite of the year. Up until about mid-October, we had a run which looked pretty rough, and it includes tonight's film, but maybe we liked it, maybe we didn't. If you're new to the show, welcome, thank you for joining. We review the week's biggest film, the major release, or sometimes the only release, in a non-spoiler format on this show, so non-spoiler thoughts and opinion, and then if the film warrants it, like, well, tonight's one will do, we drop a short spoiler minisode in a few days time. So if you haven't looked down to the episode title, you won't know what we're talking about. But if you have, you know that tonight we are talking about Saw X, the 10th installment in the Saw franchise, which has been going on now since 2004. It's only 20 years old. So this particular installment of Saw is directed by Kevin Greutert, who has directed a fair few of these now, and he's written quite a few as well. So he is a franchise regular, he's an OG, and it's written by Pete Goldfinger. Wow! Goldfinger.
What?
Gold member. Pete Goldfinger and Josh Stolberg. So there's your own Pete Goldfinger. If you're listening, we love you. So that's who wrote it, that's who directs it. Who's in it? Well, listen, this is the 10th installment of Saw. John Kramer died in Saw 3, so don't expect him to come back. In the cast, Tobin Bell as John Kramer is back. We'll get to the reasons why if you're unaware. Also, we have Shawnee Smith, Synnøve McCody-Lund, Stephen Brand, Renata Varga, and an awful lot of supporting tertiary characters whose, if I read them all out, we'll be here all evening. But Tobin Bell is the main draw for these films, alongside the traps that he puts people in. So the synopsis for this one, now I'm saying, this is Saw X, this is the 10th installment, but he died in the third one. What's going on? The synopsis: a sick and desperate John Kramer travels to Mexico for a risky and experimental medical procedure in hopes of a miracle cure for his cancer, only to discover the entire operation is a scam to defraud the most vulnerable. So up top, this film is kind of it's a prequel to everything else we've seen so far, but it sits between Saw 1 and Saw 2. Yeah, so it's fairly early on in the timeline, even if it is the newest chronologically. So it sits between 1 and 2. Now, the Saw films have historically not done well at all critically. They do well enough at the cinema, because for the longest time at the box office, October was Saw month. Every year for about 5-6 maybe consecutive years, there was a new Saw film. It was just tradition. Whether the films were any good or not, you knew what you were going to get, and it was a time at the cinema, whether it was a good time. The first film, just critically on RT, 50%. Second one, 37%. Third one, 30%. Fourth one, 18%. The fifth one, 13%. Hey, look, Saw 6, 39%. The Final Chapter, 9%. Jigsaw, 32%. Spiral, 37%. These films are not lauded critically. And then along comes Saw X, which is currently, for what it's worth, sitting at 85%, with the critics on Rotten Tomato. That is a huge, huge upward trajectory. 91% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. Big numbers. Metascore, surprisingly as well, is 60, given all the numbers I've just read out there. IMDb user score 7.3 out of 10, and also rather surprisingly, Letterboxd 3.4 out of 5. So this film is getting a lot of love from a lot of people. If you want to watch it, it's in theatres everywhere. It came out about a week ago now from the time recording, about six days ago. So it's there for you to watch. And according to The World, most people really like it. So what do we think about it? Before we talk about it, I want to know, JB, though, what are your thoughts on the franchise as a whole?
So the first Saw came out at the right time for me. I think it was 2004, right?
2004, yep.
Yeah, and I was like, I was just getting finishing college, like I was in my last semester. This and The Grudge came, and I hadn't always been really into horror, but I went and saw both of those in the theater, and I was like really into it. Saw kind of was like, I like those types of twist, which I think now I look back and I'm like, maybe it's not really a twist as much as it's a reveal, right? Yeah. But it worked for me. I thought it, I was like, oh man, this is cool. I wasn't totally into like all of the body horror, but it was like, the first one's pretty chill by comparison to how it goes, right? Like it becomes much more torture porn. And I watched them pretty much every year for like the up until 5. I think 5 was the one where I finally checked out. I was like, I'm good. And I had not seen 6 or 7 until a couple of weeks ago. I did see Jigsaw despite not seeing 6 and 7. And then also, I think when I saw Jigsaw, I didn't know there were 6 and 7. I believed it stopped at 5. And then I saw Spiral, the Book of Saw or whatever. Didn't like either of those. Don't really like 6 or 7. But, you know, overall, I do find the idea of John Kramer and the Jigsaw Killer to be a compelling one. And so I was skeptical of X for sure, but I went in with maybe they did something cool with it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of these films, and I love horror. Everybody knows that who listens to this show for any length of time. Horror is my jam. It's my genre. What I love more than anything. And yeah, I'm with you. Saw came out at just the right time for me. I remember people talking about it at school. Oh, God, this guy saws his foot off. It's so intense. This is crazy. Wow. And then you watch it, and at that age, you're like, oh my God, this is genius. What a twist. How subversive. And it is a cool reveal. I'm not going to pretend now there isn't, but it is so tame in comparison to what came afterwards. I remember one of the scenes in film history, which I hate the most, though, is in the third film, I think. And it's when Shawnee Smith, Amanda, falls into a pit of needles, used needles. And I have a fear, like a throttling, deadly fear of needles. So seeing that damn near killed me. But other than that, I don't really remember too much about the films because they kind of all bleed into one in this escalation of trying to one-up each other. It became about the torture porn. I know people don't agree with that term in terms of Saw, but it is, for me, it's all about the gore, the torture porn, the shocks, the traps, and less about any kind of story or any shred of development. And the director of this one directed Saw 6 and The Final Chapter, which is possibly one of the worst things I've seen in horror history. So like you, though, I wanted to go into this with an open mind. It was the first like true Saw film for maybe 13 years, and that's not disparaging the rest of them. But we had Jigsaw, which I guess you could argue actually that was probably the last true Saw film of that 6 years ago. And then you got Spiral, which tried something different and admirable, but I don't think it worked particularly well. So Saw X, now they're taking us back in time to do something they haven't done before, which is showcase John Kramer and Tobin Bell as the main character. He is the draw. Traps aside, the Jigsaw Killer, Tobin Bell, and what he's done to create this iconic horror villain, we're now going to see him for an entire film. I think it's a good choice to do that. It's an admirable choice. I just didn't like the film, John. I'm going to put it out there right now. I just didn't like the film because whilst I think it's admirable to try and turn the tables and actually show us the man behind the crazed, tortured genius, the guy's a serial killer in the universe. I do not need to see what motivates him. I do not need to see him in a way where I need to feel sympathy for him, or I do not need to see him in a way that posits him as a literal savior. A literal savior. And then it was such an ill-advised move for me, because I know what this guy is. I know what this guy is going to go on to do in, you know, in universe, in the timeline. I just didn't think that was a particularly good move. I liked the fact that they tried to make it a little bit more dramatic. And I do like the fact that they tried to, I mean, maybe the first hour possibly of this film, if I'm remembering correctly, at least the first chunk of it is a very kind of meditative character study. We are with this man, this desperate man who is dying of cancer, who resorts to going to Mexico, as a synopsis said, and putting his faith in a mystery drug, which is outlawed in the USA. I look at that and think, this is John Kramer falling for this scheme. That in itself is stupid, but fine. He's a desperate man that is who has got months to live. So yeah, the first chunk of the film is a character study. It was make no bones about it, guys. If you're expecting this to be a straight up Saw film, you will be sorely disappointed in the first half. I thought it was a bit, I thought it was a bit boring. I didn't really get dragged into it that much because it's John Kramer. I did like the dark humor that they interjected when he was talking to the main doctor of the facility, which Cecilia Pedersen, played by Sonovi McCody Lund. And she's like, what do you do? And he's like, I build things. I've got hobbies. I mean, that's a fun wink and a nod. And when he says he's got so much more to complete. He's at one point he's sitting on a park bench like a random old dude with his book out, and he's sketching like the bear trap head contraption, which is again a cheeky wink and a nod, and I thought that was quite fun. So it's not without its moments, but when it eventually just flips to become a Saw film, for me it's much of the same. There's no tension because you know what's going to happen. Somebody is put in a position where they have to make, if they want to play a game, they've got to choose to live or die. But we know they're going to die some way, shape or form. So and then of course the gruesomeness comes from how they have to try and survive. And some of the bits in this are very gory. It's very visceral at times. And I know a lot of people that I watched it with were audibly uncomfortable at specifically two moments in this film, which I won't mention here, maybe on the spoilers, definitely on spoilers. So it did its job, but it just felt more of the same for me, which is disappointing given that even though I wasn't fully digging the vibe, it was where it was going. I dug the fact that they tried to do something different. Kevin Grotert could have just given us a straight up Saw film. Instead, he went to do something a little bit different. And I respect that. And the traps, they're inventive. They're cool. I'm not going to sit here, John, and say they aren't cool and imaginative, even if they are brutal. You know, they get bigger and bigger as they go along. These ones are stripped back, but not as any less brutal. But I don't know, man. If the first half was like watching a Lifetime film. I didn't like it. Second half just felt like pure straight up Saw that I've seen nine other times before. I didn't think it was anything different. I think Tobin Bell's good in it. I know some people have said he is like transcendent. He's fine in it. He portrays the character very well. I just don't need a whole film about him. I also think with him, and I hate saying this, him and Shawnee Smith, they should have put a hoodie on and a backwards cap because they do not look like they do in Saw 3. And I get it, people age. No problem with that whatsoever. But it was so damn jarring to think this took place 20 years ago, but they don't look like that. And one of the guys, Stephen Brand, who's this British guy who's in it, he turns up at some point, is bloody awful. Really, really bad actor, I'm sorry to say. But yeah, if you're squeamish, don't watch this. If you don't like any of the other Saw films, this will not change your mind, I don't think. If you've enjoyed what you've seen before, you'll like half of this. You may like the first half. I'm not saying that the first half is a bomb, but I think the people who go to watch a Saw film go to watch a Saw film and not necessarily a drama. So the film fans like yourself and I will probably more appreciate the fact that they tried to give us that character study. But I think the majority of people, I would have thought, would want to go and see a bloody Saw film. Turns out, critically and with the audience score, maybe that isn't entirely true. However, I found it unsatisfying, John. Wasn't for me. And it's one of the... I know you're going to have a comment on this soon, but It's one of the worst horror films I've seen this year by rating alone.
Not even
alone.
Close for me. It is way higher on the list than at least two that I can think of.
One
most audiences won't be able to see called Aberrant. Aberrant? I don't remember what it's called. That movie.
Aberrant.
Real bad. It's abhorrent. The movie is itself. Ooh, and it's not nice. A clever name. That's just a coincidence. But I don't love this movie. But I do like it. I do think I do think it does something different in that it feels like a regular movie and not a Saw formula as far as like the plot structure, the way information is presented. We do still get the I like to call it the Soderbergh reveal, where we like we're gonna flash back and show you how we got here. Which I don't know for sure if that originates in Ocean's 11, but it feels like it originates in Ocean's 11. And then Saw made it its whole thing, right? Like, it's like, we're going to just do random things for 90 minutes. And then in the last 3 minutes, we'll show you everything to reveal the twist, which, again, never actually a twist. It's not something you can, like, work your way back to and find, oh, yeah, like, that's how they did it. No. It's we were not shown any of the information until they decide to show it to us at the end. That's no different here. That does show up. But like you said, it even looks kind of like a Hallmark movie at times. Like it, like the lighting, and I'm saying this as a person whose wife adores the Hallmark movie. So I have seen,
you know, you're
plenty
about
of them. It has that kind of look, like there, it's like a fluorescent lit scene instead of a regularly lit scene. It just has that feel to it, and part of it is like the hospital type setting, and there is like even the score kind of mirrors that, kind of like, oh, this poor guy, he's just trying to stay alive. But like, that might have worked if this were Saw 1 and we didn't know who he is. Like, he's a killer. And it's hard to like, okay, and he would say he's not a killer, right? Like, that is his go-to move, is like, no, I offer choices. And then they either choose to let themselves die or not. You know, that's not my fault. Really passing the buck there. He's an anti-hero in his own mind, right? Like, he thinks he's helping humanity with the things that he's doing. Although, he's very loosey-goosey with who he punishes, right? Like, because he punishes some people that are like, there's a scene, the first quote-unquote kill scene, he sees a guy stealing from like paralyzed or comatose people in the hospital, like an orderly, like going through the drawer and
taking the money out of his wallet and that.
A dude who's probably not getting paid a whole lot of money for the important work that he does. And while I don't agree with stealing from someone who's comatose, I don't know that the guy deserved to have the trap that we see Kramer planning for him, which is a cool visual. First time I think they've ever done a dream sequence.
Yes.
And basically, we're seeing the insight into the psychopath, right? We're seeing how he ticks. And it's interesting. It's compelling. I don't necessarily think the movie's advocating for him, but there are times in this film that it does feel like we're supposed to have, if not empathy for him, at least this kind of like, well, I get why he does it. I don't agree with it, but I get why. And I don't know if that's okay either. Like, I don't know. It really feels wrong. And so, like, it's a very hard sell. I don't agree with Joker in the Joker film. And I don't agree with Heisenberg in the Breaking Bad franchise. But, like, even when you side with them a little bit, because, like, it's hard not to side with Joker because he's, like, anti-capitalist. And it's like, well, I kind of, okay, I don't like the way he's going about it, but oh man, where like Kramer doesn't really seem to have a stance. It's more like, people should behave the way I think they should behave, and if they do not, I will punish them. And that's not okay, right? That's authoritarian, that's fascist, that's, it's all the things, it's all the bad words. And so it does, it's weird. I've been trying to figure out why this is an 85, and I can't come up with a good reason. Because again, I don't think this is a great movie. I wasn't bored watching it, which you apparently were. I was much more engaged. I do find Tobin Bell to be a compelling screen presence. I can't say that about most of the other people in this movie. Like, most of the other performances are, like, soap opera-esque or a little over the top. And I do, I'm always compelled to see his end game. And I would like some more explanations. Like, he gives them 3 minutes. And I'm like, how do you know that takes 3 minutes? That feels like maybe it's not enough time. Like, you know, like, you have to saw your leg off and suck the marrow out of the bone. And you have 3 minutes. It's like, dude.
If I do it in 3 minutes and 3 seconds, I think I should be punished for that, my friend.
Yeah, it's like, maybe give me an hour. Like, I mean, that's all, I gotta work my way up. I've never done this before. Like, there's a lot to it.
My leg off says a lot about my desire to live.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you're actually testing my desire to live, why 3 minutes? And again, it comes back to, like, maybe he really doesn't want to test them, although the character seems to imply that he does. He does want them to survive. And yeah, I find all of the, like, I like the actress that plays Amanda, Samantha Swanee or whatever. I think she's compelling.
Oh, Shawnee Smith. Like,
Shawnee Smith, sorry. But again, I think you're right. Like, you can feel the age of these characters. Like Tobin Bell.
Courtney Cox would be proud.
Yeah, like, and no offense to them. Like, again, people age. It's just, it's not fair to put them in a movie that's supposed to be from 20 years ago, especially when Tobin Bell was old to start Saw. Like, it wasn't like he was, like, 20-something starting off. Like, I got a gig. Like, it's like, oh, wow, this guy, he's been in some things. Let's give him this. I just sent you a meme, actually, on Instagram that I think is very telling, but it's like, the first movie, he doesn't feel like he's going to be a horror icon. He just feels like this one-off guy.
Yes.
And then, and that's where this movie also breaks formula, though, is that Kramer's, to my recollection, and it's been a minute since I've seen most of the films, but Kramer's usually not seen by the people in the games.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
And that's very different, and that's another where they mix up the formula, because this is not a planned game. This is maybe the only time where it's true revenge, where, like, he still feels vindicated because the woman hasn't just screwed him over, but this is like, oh, you got one over on me? You gave me false hope? Well, now it's on. And so, like, he kind of breaks protocol, which allows the filmmaker to break protocol as well. Like, we're seeing shots and things done that have never been done in the 9 other movies because it's slightly different. And that's the only thing I can really wrap my head around this being the most lauded. Because the first one is great. Like, Cary Elwes is so good in that movie. And that's the only part of 3D that I like, was the big twist at the end of that movie, which I won't spoil, but Elwes is involved. And I was like, that's kind of baller. Like, I had no idea that was going to happen. But otherwise, yeah, I don't think this is an outstanding film. It's definitely not the worst horror film I've seen this year. But there's definitely better stuff. I keep hoping that we're going to get something like Smile or Barbarian this year, and it's not looking like it. I would love that kind of surprise horror film. I mean, It Lives Inside and Talk to Me, I think, are the two big kind of surprises of the year, because they're a little more indie. I'm not sure. Talk to Me might be my favorite horror film of the year, and Saw by no means is up that high. I definitely didn't dislike it, and I would, if we're talking Rotten Tomato, I would be giving it a thumbs up, so it would still be ticking that direction where you are leaning thumbs down. Which I guess for this show, that means it'll be thumbs down. So, you know,
it's just, I don't know. I don't want to put logic to any of these films because there is none, but I mean, Tobin Bell can barely stand up, let alone construct these damn traps when he realizes things have hit the fan. I'm like, guys, come on. And I don't want to add any logic to it because sometimes that could be the devil of any film if you look too much into it. And I don't like doing that sometimes. Sometimes I just like things that happen. Like in this case, John Kramer was wronged. So in revenge, he decides, you know what? I'm going to take my revenge. We're going to play some games. Fine. Okay. I don't need to think about him constructing it. Fine. But I can't. Sometimes I just can't help also thinking about that, but I wanted to like it. I think it's admirable trying to, like you said, make it into more of a film. And it seems to have worked because people seem to be really enjoying the film, at least on first viewing, with the across the board, even Metacritic, you know, the creme de la creme, some, you know, the more disconcerting critics are, you know, 60 is favorable reviews, where I'd have expected a Saw film to be half that, at least on Metacritic. So, you know, not absolutely, you know, full respect to that for doing something a little bit different. But you hit the nail on the head for me earlier on, JB, by saying, I mean, for me, I said there was no tension in the traps because we've seen it all before. But, you know, what you said is true, that we know that John Kramer's going to be okay because of where it's set in the timeline. We know that Amanda Shawnee Smith's going to be fine. So therefore, I don't really care. You know, I mean, it is just another Saw film by at the end of it. And for some people, that will be a good thing. For others, not at all. I wanted to like it, but yeah, there are better horror films out there this year. More, I say original, Talk to Me. It's an idea that's been done before, but it felt so grounded. It felt so gritty and primal that it's going to be hard to top that this year. But, you know, it's Saw X. There are lots of people who seem to like it, my man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's, you know, I get it. It's, again, I hope it's not a resurgence of the style, because they had started to pull away from the torture porn. So I hope that's not like a sign that people are going to misread what this is. I'm like, maybe you'll just get, sometimes we just want normal storytelling where we have characters and we sit with characters and we learn about the character a little bit more, you know, maybe not this character, but you know, in general.
Yeah. Well, there's Saw X, guys. We're going to be dropping a short spoiler minisode talking more about the machinations of the devious yet sympathetic John Kramer. That'll be dropping in a few days' time, but we'd love to know what you thought in between that. We'll give the details of where you could send those later on. So we're going to move on now to what would be our usual scheduled next segment, Chuff Headlines. Instead, rather than picking a headline that's caught our attention, we are the headline this week. We are, throughout the month of October, running the inaugural Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast Horror Movie Havoc bracket. Now, we wanted to do something to celebrate the spooky season, which, rather than just saying, oh, these are our favorite films, which for the most part would probably be similar to what most other people say, so instead we have devised a bracket. And for this year, we have taken a selection of what we'd consider to be the best films, or the better films, or most interesting films from Shudder, the horror movie streaming service of which I hold in high esteem. So we're using the films on Shudder, and then we're also and we picked 15 each. We're pitting them against each other on a bracket, and the positions were based on their letterboxed ranking, so from highest to lowest. That then determined the seedings and the placing and who was going to be up against who. And it also helps that if we have a draw, we can use the highest rated film to progress the winner of that. And because there's 31 days in October, JB did the maths for me. 15 and 15 is 30. There's one spare spot. So we took the highest rated horror film on Letterboxd, and that, which was also on
from Shudder,
the highest rated film from Shudder. Yep. And we progressed that to the next round. So that film was Possession.
So Possession. Matt, go on,
my friend.
So the inspiration of the bracket is March Madness here in the States, which I don't know how aware you are of that. Are you aware of March Madness?
I've heard of it.
College basketball, huge thing. People go bracketology. People like build a bracket and like, and then the podcast that I talk about every week, Blank Check, they do brackets to decide their director series every year. In March, though, they do it in March because it's March Madness. And I was like, you know, every year at Halloween or in October, I try to watch, I think for like the last 5 years, I've done some variation of a horror movie challenge where I've watched 31 movies or I did this or that. And I was like, I'm running out of good horror movies, like in the sense of, like, I've seen a lot of the big ones at this point, right? And I could rewatch those, and a lot of times I want to, like, I want to rewatch The Shining, I want to rewatch The Thing, like those. There, I have favorites that I love going back to. And but I was like, it'd be fun if we made something where there's like a challenge, where there's like we're gonna crown a champion, right? And March Madness popped in my head, and I'm like, there's 31 days. If you do what we've done here with 31 movies in a Sweet 16 bracket, essentially, with Possession having a bye week because it was the highest ranked on Shudder, we end up with 31 matchups exactly. And I'm like, how perfect is that? It's like it's set up, which is again why they do it in March too, because there's 31 days. But that's, you know, it works out perfectly. Although they start with 64 teams, I think, and then it works down to the final four. So it ends up being more than 31. But here, with 16 goes to 31 games exactly. And, you know, we can bring it to the listeners. And listeners, if you are able to watch these or if you have Shudder, we are not sponsored by Shudder yet. Shudder, if you want to hook us up for next October, that'd be cool. But yeah, this gave us, I know when I picked my movies, I went with a mix of things I saw that I liked a lot already and some that I had never seen, but I had some interest in for some reason or another, you know, like something that had been, I've been meaning to watch this, but I haven't yet. So, didn't mean to jump in or interject, but it was just like the March Madness of it all is the American side of this show for sure. I get, cause you also, you seemed very thrown when I introduced the idea of the bracket at first. And I was like, oh, does he not know like brackets? and I hadn't really thought about it.
No, I know brackets, but I remember when you, cause I remember you were, I was at work when you told me about it. And I remember thinking I remember saying, I like the sound of it. I like the premise, but maybe I'm slow. Maybe you just need to elaborate. And as soon as you did, I was like, oh, this rocks. And I think it's a great idea. And it's outside of the, we wanted to do something like John said, that's a little bit outside the box, which wasn't The Exorcist versus The Shining, you know, The Psycho versus Ghostbusters or whatever, you know, like big films that everyone's heard of and everyone's seen. Try something a bit different because it may encourage your listeners, you guys, to watch some of these if you haven't. It also gives us a chance to make sure we're staying spooky in spooky season. And Shudder, I rate Shudder highly. Plus, it means we get to utilize Letterboxd for a very cool reason as well. And throughout the month of October, if you haven't seen already, we are posting the matchups on Twitter, X, and Instagram stories, and also as a post. So we'd love for you to go and check those out and vote for the film which you think is, which you prefer, which you choose. One of them's mine, one of them's John's. And yeah, we're enjoying doing it. We've all, by the time we're recording this, which is right now, we have already had a few results in, and we can talk about some of those. But JB, did you say you'd seen all of the films that you, the 15 films that you've chosen?
No, I don't even think most of them. So my 15, I'm just going to run through my 15 real fast.
Yeah, sure.
Nosferatu the Vampire, Halloween, Reanimator, Ringu, Ginger Snaps, Revenge, Magic, Dead and Buried, The Babadook, The Autopsy of Jane Doe, Color in Out of Space, The Crazies, Brooklyn 45, House, and Children of the Corn. I had seen, obviously, Halloween. I've seen a million times. I've seen The Babadook and have taught The Babadook. I've seen Brooklyn 45 this year, earlier this year, at the Overlook Film Festival. And I think that's it on my list. Nice. I'm pretty sure I saw House when I was a kid because I have a distinct memory of it, of like the thing. And also I was a huge Night Court fan and Richard Mull is in it. But I didn't remember it well enough to like count it. So I watched that. And I, for years, thought I'd seen Children of the Corn and had always associated it with Village of the Damned and thought they were the same movie. They are not the same movie. I like both. I like Children of the Corn a heck of a lot more, though. I was really into Children of the Corn. There's some great just stuff in that movie. But yeah, everything else I am watching now, and I am like, I am binging like crazy because I have to also watch movies on your list that I haven't seen, which do you want to read through your list real fast?
I will do, yeah. So most of these films I have seen, but the ones I hadn't seen are ones which I wanted to see. So I have a knowledge or a want for all of them. So the films I've chosen are VHS 94, Come True, The Dark and the Wicked, Hell House LLC, Daniel Isn't Real, Terrified, Host, What Josiah Saw, The Mortuary Collection, The Medium, Goodnight Mummy, Lake Mungo, The Changeling, Pulse, Cairo, and Wreck. So pretty good lineup right there. And like JB, the films I'm not actively rewatching the films that I've seen and have a good recollection of, but I'm watching the ones I haven't seen, and obviously the ones that John has picked, which I haven't seen, because I haven't seen all of the ones that JB has seen as well. And by doing the letterbox shakeup as well, it's pitted some really good films against each other and has forced us to choose between films that ideally we'd want to put both through. But, you know, we're honest kind of guys. We can only do what's required and be honest. So the format is, John, even though JB and I have picked 15 films, the way that they've been pitted against each other doesn't necessarily mean that we will pick our own film. There are three votes to determine a film getting through to the next stage. My vote, the film that I think is the best out of the two. John's vote, so the film that John thinks is the best. And also with the results of the social media poll, or if it's a draw, the highest rated of the two on Letterboxd gets through to the next round. So there are three. So we shouldn't have draws, should we, JB? But
no,
we have.
Well, one social post was a draw on its own, which is we want more people to vote. That's the thing. Like we were hoping like everybody in the world would vote, and that hasn't happened yet. But
it will do.
I will say, while we don't have to vote for ours, Matt is almost exclusively voting for his. He's got
for
one
now
of mine.
For now,
I have voted for at least.
I was like, damn, he's going to think I'm just being biased, but it's the way that the chips have landed.
And I have voted a couple so far, and I like I easily could have voted for Pulse. Like, to me, out of the votes we've had so far, that was the hardest one, because I really think Pulse is a great movie. House just is like my stuff. Like, that is my
jam,
style of film. It's goofy, it's silly, it's very practical. It very much feels like a upper class Evil Dead in a lot of ways. that just hits my I had a blast watching it. I think five of them, and I'm kind of tempted to like watch the rest of them, but I'm like, I have to watch these other movies first.
Should we go through the bracket then in that case, and so we can tell everyone who's voted for what and why I seem to be siding with me? But straight off the top, the first one was a non-contest because it was the highest rated film to get a bye, and that was Andre Zalowski's Possession, starring Isabel Ajani and Sam Neill. Bonkers film. Really enjoy that film, despite the fact it is out there. So, and you enjoyed Possession too, didn't you, when you watched it? I believe
I enjoyed might be strong. I appreciate learning about it and the film history of it more so than watching it itself, because the style of the film is very against my the acting is super soap opera-y at times on purpose, and it's making a point. It didn't make it enjoyable to watch, because it's still like, well, I still don't like this kind of acting. But interesting, though, that she, Isabel, whatever her name is.
Isabella Gianni.
There you go. Is also in Nosferatu the Vampire, which is my number one pick, because I've actually never seen a Werner Herzog narrative film. I've only seen his documentaries and then him in some stuff, you know, because he's like in The Mandalorian. He wants to see the baby.
I would like to see the baby.
Also, like, it's impossible to watch a Werner Herzog film and not hear him doing voiceover, even though he's not doing voiceover. But like, you just like, he has such a style to how he speaks, and that's one of the reasons I love his documentaries is his narration, because it's just he's so funny.
Such presence in that voice as well. It's really cool.
Yes, and it's so self serious, and yet it feels preposterous that you're like, you can't be that serious. Like, you can't actually feel. And so, like, when I'm watching Nosferatu the Vampire, I'm just like hearing him talking over it, which he's not doing, but in my head, I'm like, yeah. But she's in both of those films, which I thought was pretty interesting. But
I didn't know she was in Nosferatu the Vampire for the reason that I haven't seen that one yet. That is one of the ones I'm going to be watching with certain trepidation. But we'll get to what film it's up against soon, but it may be unfair. Yeah. So the first real bracket that we put out there that we had to vote on, and we put it to you guys, was a pretty powerhouse pairing, to be fair. And it was Wreck, which was my choice, versus Children of the Corn, which was John's choice. Now, John's already said I've voted for some of mine. I voted for Wreck. JB, out of the pair, which did you vote for?
I voted for Wreck. However, it was hard not voting for Children of the Corn, because I really did like Children of the Corn, but like, of those two movies, Wreck is definitely a better overall movie. But I did like both of these, which was nice to like not just vote for one because I hated the other, which happens in some coming up. There's definitely some movies where I'm like, nope, don't like that.
I haven't really had that, but kind of most of the films that I've seen and going to see, I think I'm going to enjoy. So it's going to be a toss up, though. The spreadsheet we're looking at may say differently. We put it to the socials. We put it to you guys. Rec was the winner. So it was a clean sweep for Rec. Pat on the back for myself in this one as the winning Bampite. JB, what was the next matchup? Oh, sorry, go on.
Well, it's just for clarity, if you're not familiar with like March Madness and brackets, the number one seed usually plays the highest or the worst seed. So like number one seed for Matt was Rec, and it was up against my number 15, Children of the Corn, or
it's pretty
whatever.
Strong.
Again though, because we're picking movies off of Shudder, partly to limit our pool, but also because we didn't want to have to buy 31 movies for the month of October. So like we were like, well, what's the streaming service we both have access to? What we've seen, most of the movies are available both in the UK and here. I think there was one exception so far, but it was on Prime.
Yes, I think it was one of the ones we're going to speak about shortly. But everything else I've been able to see, or the ones I've seen so far, have been available over here. And it's also for you guys, if you want to watch it, can also jump on the streaming service and watch it too.
Yeah, and Shudder, unless something changes, is like $6 for a month here. So it's like it's one of the cheaper streaming services. Yeah. Pulse or Cairo versus House was our second matchup. I voted for House because it, again, is my cup of tea. A gross, disgusting cup of tea. And
I do enjoy tea.
Matt, who'd you vote for?
I voted for Pulse in this instance. There was a remake with Kristen Bell, I think, and it was absolutely abysmal.
I saw that.
Horrific. I saw it when it came out and was like, this is awful. Even then, like young me was like, this is bad. So I went for Pulse. It's funny because House is your jam. Like this Pulse, this kind of my kind of film this is. Like, if you haven't seen it, guys, I won't spoil it, but I really, really like this film. And it's one of those, like Ringu, it's like a kind of staple of that early J-horror of the early noughties, but I think it holds up well. So sad to say I had to go with Pulse, which left us with a draw, didn't it, JB? One vote each. Surely the social poll helped us out.
For House and Pulse, unfortunately, no. Apparently, you guys were split on this. And so the winner by default, because it has a higher rating on Letterboxd, was Pulse. You guys could have helped House win. I feel like not enough people have seen House.
House would always win. But
I feel like maybe a lot of people haven't seen Pulse either. And that's kind of the point, guys. It's out there on Shudder. Watch it. Take a minute. Make that one of your movies for the month, especially if you're doing a horror challenge. Boom, right there. We got your whole list if you want it.
Yeah, so Pulse was the winner based on it having the higher rating on Letterboxd. That's my film. So far, I'm 2-4-2. The next matchup in the brackets is the Changeling from 1980 with George C. Scott versus Brooklyn 45, which is a film that you saw recently, didn't you, JB, or beginning of the year?
Yes, and I think it's very good. It's very unique. Full disclosure, I somewhat know the director. He's not I definitely can't call him a friend. He's very nice though, so he's very friendly. He's a PR person, so I get screenings and stuff from him. I do have that connection, but that's not, I picked it because I feel like not enough people got to see it. I saw it only because I went to a festival and I thought it was really cool. But The Changeling, when I saw it, I probably watched that for the first time maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It's a 5-star movie for me. Like, I loved The Changeling. So, I no offense to Brooklyn 45, it was just bad matchup. Like, if this had been another matchup, I probably would have voted for that over The Changeling.
Brooklyn 45, I liked Brooklyn 45. It's got a nice snappy runtime, which is something that we appreciate here in BAMP HQ. And I like the message of it. I liked seeing an older horror film mixed in with some more dramatic elements as well, and some fun as well. Let's not lie. But I like Brooklyn 45, but I picked The Changeling because I remember watching it years ago and thinking, "Wow, this is really quite good." And then upon rewatching it, I remember thinking, wow, this is really quite good. And George C. Scott's really good in this film. It's a pretty heavy supernatural film. And
yes,
it's not, it's like JB did sometime, like we'll both do. sometimes it comes down to feeling, which one did I prefer? Even if it isn't a better film, which one did I prefer? But with this one, The Changeling had to win out because it was just that good. So The Changeling, I picked that as well, which by default means that The Changeling is through. So that's three for me. I'm not doing this on purpose, guys. However, the social poll, though, did go with Brooklyn 45. So JB did very take cool. The social poll there, which is very cool to see a little change up. But The Changeling has gone through in this bracket. And JB, the final one, which we've done pre-recording, take us through it.
Well, we don't have the social poll done yet, correct? But it's out there now.
We do not yet.
So you might, if you're hearing this immediately when we drop it tonight, then you might have time to still vote. It's Lake Mungo versus The Crazies. And, I am a big Romero fan, right? I even like some of his lesser, entries, and I'd seen The Crazies remake, but not the original.
2010 or whenever, 2003, sorry, whenever.
Yeah, it was, with Oliphant, and I forget who else is in it, but, I think it's Oliphant, not Duhamel, but, you know, the two guys that look the same.
They look the same.
But I the only reason I'd seen Lake Mungo was we did that on Movie Club a few years ago. Me and Corey watched, and I don't remember liking it that much. But I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd, so I'm trusting my gut. I think The Crazies is good. It's rough, and it has the same kind of feel of Night of the Living Dead, like the mockumentary, because it's not making fun of documentaries, but it has like that kind of found footage grit to it. And I do like it, but it you know, it's like, it's not as good as Night of the Living Dead. It's like, it's a good follow-up, but I'm saying like 3.5 stars for The Crazies, where Lake Mungo I put a little higher up. So it's going to get my vote for that reason, even though I don't remember. I feel like it frustrated me at the end. That's what I can't remember specifics right now, but I feel like that was where I lost, like, why it's not a 5-star movie for me. Was I don't think I liked how it concluded, or something. I could go back and listen to my podcast episode where I probably discussed it in full, but I have not done that yet.
You should do it, JB. Lake Mungo, I couldn't get my hands on it for the longest time, and I saw it a couple of years ago for the first time. It was one that I'd heard an awful lot about, and when I watched it, I felt really kind of uncomfortable watching it, and it lingered with me for a long time because it just felt so genuine. And there's a few visuals in it which scared the heck out of me when I watched it. The kind of crime documentary vibe it's gone for, it felt so real. It's one, I'm not going to compare it completely, but where in 1999, young me thought the Blair Witch Project was real because of the youth of the internet, the naivety of the internet made everyone believe that it could be real. Lake Mungo, without that kind of viral marketing, felt real as well, and it stayed with me. Whereas The Crazies, as much as I enjoy the film, I remember it just, for me, just being a solid film. It's a good film. It's Romero doing cool Romero things, and it's a solid film. I also remember watching the remake and thinking, this is okay, but I was kind of pitted up with a solid film in The Crazies, a good film, may I add, or Lake Mungo, which I thought was good, but it damn well left an effect on me and made me feel all the things. So I went for a film which I think was more effective and a film which lingered with me longer, which was Lake Mungo. So 4 out of 4 for myself, by default of us both choosing it. We're still waiting on the social poll. Do go vote on that. And I will say, just to clear my name, I know we jest, but I honestly am not just picking my own films here. It is the way the chips have fallen. There are some coming up in the next few weeks, where I'm looking at thinking, I don't know, this could be a JB sweep on some of these, but this is just the way it is. When we get to the next stage, that's when it's going to get tougher, because it's the films that we've pitted against another one of our choices are now going through. That's when we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of it. But I swear I'm not just picking mine. There is in fact one where I haven't picked one of mine. I can tell you that right now. And I think there's going to be a couple more as well. But so far, Matt is 4-4. I'm waiting for JB to take the day. look behind the curtain. I think for the next for tomorrow's one, I think it's going to be 5 for 5. But I can't help that, unfortunately.
Really? Okay. Interesting. Oh, yeah. No, I see why. Yeah.
Nothing against the other one, but the one which I picked, it worked for me.
Yeah. I actually don't love that, but I like the other one less.
That's probably the best way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So listeners, please, if you haven't been watching these, I recommend checking out the list. That you can see the full bracket at BurkReviews.com if you want to see like what other matchups are going. We're not going to read through all of them right now, but we will be talking about the next set of them on our next episode.
Yeah, and it will probably be a fairly big chunk. So we've spoken about 4 today. There will be at least, what, maybe 6 matchups, I guess, if my maths is right, for the next episode. And then obviously the one after that as we lead closer to Halloween, with the aim of crowning what we believe is the best film on Shudder based on our choices and the Letterboxd ratings. Again, we're not sponsored by Shudder or Letterboxd, but guys, the phone's ready to ring if you want to talk to us. The email inbox is open for next year, but it's a lot of fun. Please do join in and do check out our socials and get involved with those polls so the film that you want to win does win. You can sway the tide of battle here with one click of a poll, and it doesn't take long at all, so please do check those out. Thank you to everyone who has voted so far, and thank you to John for voting for some of my films. I respect you.
Indeed.
Now, let's move on to our next actual schedule segment, which is, of course, media consumption. And it's here where we talk about the films, TV series, video games, music, podcasts, which aren't ours, whatever we've been indulging in to pass the time since our last recording. JB, you've always got a pretty sizable selection. What have you gone for this week to watch and check out?
Too much. So I'm not even going to get into all of the things, but Blank Check, as always, they're still in the David Fincher series. The Fight Club episode is over 3 hours long because Alex Ross Perry is the guest, and his episodes are always pretty long. I enjoy when he's on the show, though, so it's always great. I started listening to Doughboys and It Ends at Prom, two new podcasts for me. I'm enjoying both of those. If you are interested, It Ends at Prom. BJ is a writer at Slash Film, and she was on the Bottoms episode of the Filmcast, and I really enjoyed her on that episode and found out she had her own podcast with her wife, and so I started listening, and nice. It's really good. They're exploring teenage, like high school teenage films, hence the name It Ends at Prom. And they have some really good episodes. I've enjoyed. They just did Perfect Blue not too long ago. And really good. If you haven't seen that movie, excellent. Nice. I've watched a lot of movies. Matt, I'm just going to like hit these real fast. And if we want to go back to any of them, we can. But I will say, seeing Stop Making Sense on the IMAX screen was a revelatory experience. It felt like being at a concert. I was alone, completely alone at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And
that's the dream.
It was worth it, though, because it was just like I felt like I was getting a private Talking Heads concert, and it was phenomenal. I'd seen it 2 times before that, but I just absolutely love it. Seeing it on the big screen in that high quality was insane. It's just so good. Also realized like right away that Cillian Murphy would be excellent at playing David Byrne. They Certainly. Especially that. Yeah. But okay, so here's what I've been watching. No One Will Save You on Hulu. Dumb Money, I went and saw with my wife in the theater, liked it. Possession, as we mentioned, a lot of these are going to be movies we just mentioned. Children of the Corn, I caught the second Brosnan, Tomorrow Never Dies. Here's what I'll say. I like Pierce Brosnan as Bond. His movies aren't good. GoldenEye's good, but so far,
don't get any better.
Movie's not good. I've heard. I'm not excited. I've seen clips of some of the other ones, so I got 2 more to go. I watched Nosferatu the Vampire, found it very boring. Pulse, liked very much. House, had a blast. The Kane Mutiny Court Martial is the last William Friedkin film, and also stars Lance Reddick, or co-stars Lance Reddick, and obviously he is also passed this year. I don't think I can talk about it yet, but my review will be up at Disappointment Media on Friday, I think. Nice. I got the short film Strange Way of Life, which is I'm going to forget the director's name. Pedro Altamar?
Altamar. I know who you mean. Yep. I'll find it for you.
Really, really good filmmaker. This is a 31 minute short with Pedro Pascal and Ethan Hawke. Love those two guys very much. Nice. I think it's cowardly at times because they're gay cowboys. And it, when they're about to get busy, it fades to black. And I'm like, cowards. So, you know, which not to like say it needs to be explicit, but like it's going to draw a comparison to Brokeback Mountain because of gay cowboys. And that movie doesn't shy away from the love, like from the sexuality. And it's not graphic, but it doesn't shy away from it. And I felt like this did. And I was like, ah, cowards, like, come on. We want to watch Pedro and Ethan really kiss, and they don't really kiss. Like, it's very...
2023, Brokeback Mountain is what, 15 years ago, and when attitudes were worse then, and you know they did it then and got it and to acclaim. So yeah, Pedro Almodovar, excuse my pronunciation, is the director.
Then I caught The Autopsy of Jane Doe, Color Out of Space, The Crazies, as I mentioned, and one we will be talking about at length next week is The Exorcist: Believer. Oh, sorry, Believer, not Believer. I keep hoping it'll be a Justin Bieber movie, but it's not. But yeah, that's those are the movies that I watched this last week. It's a lie. I've been really trying to get ahead of this bracket. I have to watch basically not quite 30. I think I have to watch like 22 movies in like 18 days, or 16 days.
Jesus, yeah.
So it's a lot. I've got, and Matt had to pick The Medium, which is 2 hours and 10 minutes. Most of mine have been 90s.
That's the beauty about horror, is most of them are quite short, but there's always that one bloody outlier, and I apologize.
Yeah, and I'm still covering movies for Disappointing Media, and I had movies for this podcast, so like I'm trying to wedge them in, and I'm gonna have a busy weekend because I gotta watch Medium before the 7th, which I'm gonna watch tomorrow night, I think, and then I gotta watch The Mortuary Collection, the What Josiah Saw, Dead and Buried, Host. No, I don't have to watch Host. I've seen Host. I have to watch Magic. Terrified and Revenge. Daniel Isn't Real. Ginger Snaps. Hell House LLC. Ringu. Reanimator. Come True. And then I'm done. So I've got like a little bit of a binge coming up, but...
Not much. I gave you a heads up. I gave you a 2 hours, 10 minute film, and I gave you Host, which is just over an hour. So come on, I've balanced myself out here. But you've already seen Host.
I've seen Host. Because it was a pandemic movie.
Yes.
And then games. I'm still playing Mortal Kombat 1 like crazy. I just got through the invasion mode. Like, I completed the main part of the invasion mode, and then you get a thing that unlocks other parts of it that I'm now going back and doing. But having a blast collecting like the different skins and stuff for the game. It's a real fun fighting game. If you were ever a Mortal Kombat fan, I highly recommend picking it up. But I've seen tons. Matt, what about you?
I always feel like I pale in comparison to John Burke in many aspects of life, but especially when it comes to the consumption of media. So this week, in the last week, I've listened to Nightmare on Film Street. They spoke with the directors of the upcoming 13 Ghosts series. That was an interesting listen. 13 Ghosts is a fun film and a fun idea. So I'm interested in a series that I probably won't ever watch, as most of you know, but maybe I will do. Probably won't. I also listened to The Horror Show speak about the class of 1999. How cliche is October and I'm just listening to horror shows. The films don't really change, to be fair. It is all horror. Like John mentioned, next week we can talk more about this film. I've seen The Exorcist: Believer. So yeah, thoughts on that next week. I also watched Children of the Corn, which, like you, I enjoyed. It's one that I'd already seen, but I think what you said is quite true and quite apparent, because I didn't mix it up necessarily with the film that you did, but I just couldn't remember anything about it. I mixed up more with one of the Evil Dead films, or Night of the Living Dead, sorry, for type films. And again, it wasn't like that. So I was pleasantly surprised when I watched it and enjoyed it. But it couldn't beat out Wreck, sadly. Brooklyn 45, I've already mentioned that. Ahead of one of the upcoming days in the bracket, I've watched Daniel Isn't Real on Shudder. It's on the bracket, so I'll save my thought for the episode that it drops on. But I have seen that one. It's one of the ones that I chose based on the fact that I'd heard of it and I'd been wanting to watch it for a while. And the bracket gave me a chance to do so. So horror movie havoc, go check it out. Maybe you'll like it, Maybe I did. You'll find out. And I don't know if we mentioned this. I feel like we didn't, but we've spoken about this off air, but I also caught The Creator, the new Gareth Edwards film, which the trailers looked great. The trailers really made this thing look like it could be, you know, something really quite special, something deep, something thematically resonant, but it turned out the film was just okay. The film is fine. It is a disappointment of a film because it looks so good. And I know everybody said that like it's a hot take, but this thing was made for $80 million, a quarter almost, or well, pretty much when you add in marketing, or at least a third of a Star Wars, a DC, a Marvel film. And this thing blows pretty much all of them out of the water in recent years. It is a stunning looking film. But the thing is, the story is one that it's a totally unoriginal story because it's a hodgepodge of so many other films that you've seen, classic sci-fi films. Every James Cameron film known to man is in there. And it's the lone wolf and cub story. Again, you've got reluctant father, reluctant guy takes on a youngster and has to get them through a series of trouble, barriers and hurdles to get them to a final destination. And it starts well. It starts really well. The ideas that they plant in these kind of old school cinematic reels, I was like, that's cool. I love the idea that the AI is, oh wow, we've got AI on our side, and instead we use them as police and public service, and we kind of almost like make slaves out of them. There's a story to tell here. But Gareth Edwards thought, nah, we're not going to tell that story. We're going to tell a totally different story, which is unoriginal and visually stunning. I wanted to love this film, but I did not. And that is one of the bigger disappointments I've seen this year. Keep an eye out on the Bampies or annual awards. This may feature in some of those categories, for better or for worse. So The Creator was one of the films, the last few films this year that I was really looking forward to and expecting to crash into my top 10. It is not going to be anywhere near the top 10, sadly. But I hope you guys enjoy it out there as well. We want original films. This isn't that, but it looks good. At least. So I've seen that. And today I watched the finale of Ahsoka, Star Wars Ahsoka, the eighth part, as they're known, of the eight-part miniseries. Now I should say season more than anything else, because this thing is written for a season two. Filoni and the gang, clearly before the strikes and the sad passing of Ray Stevenson, who is one of the standouts of this. This has got season two written all over it. The thing doesn't finish. Where it ends, it's not a definitive ending. It's just, well, I don't know, we're going to get season two out, but then the world happened and, oh crap, now we can't announce it. Oh crap, now we can't film it for a long time. And that now puts a lot of our plans in jeopardy. And the season finale was fine. We put out our recap over on Star Wars Sessions, and myself and Luke, my co-host, are both the same, where it's fine. It's very flat. It wasn't particularly very epic. It wasn't particularly very exciting. You know, things happened that we kind of expected. There were no real payoffs. There's no real tie up to story strands. And it's this whole connected universe storytelling, which doesn't always work in shows like this. And it's come true here. You know, we've got a season now where we may not get another one for another 2 years, but we've also got other shows which happen at the same time coming out, which probably won't touch on any of this, but surely now they can't overlap because we can't get any resolution. It's a funny one, but season as a whole, I enjoyed the season as a whole. I think it peaked midway, and now probably for the better, we're not going to get another Star Wars show for at least a year, if not more, because of scheduling and the strikes. And maybe that isn't such a bad thing. Same as I've said with the MCU and other projects similar. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I want to see Star Wars on the big screen, John. I want to see a Star Wars film. I want to see a movie, or I want to see an event. Have the next series was supposed to be one called Skeleton Crew, which was due to drop within 8 weeks. That is not enough time to absorb this show and kind of crave another one. Even though I love the franchise, you know that. Everyone knows that. You need a bit of time off. So I'm not too bothered by not having one for the next year, maybe. I think it will be a stronger feeling when we get the next one, because we've had to wait a little bit longer. And this fast food culture we live in, let's wait for our order. Let's just calm down a bit and it'll all be worth it in the end. So the films that I can actually talk about, pretty decent week's film, decent listening, and pretty decent TV series wrapping up there, JB. So all in all, not a bad week. But like you, next week I'm going to have a slightly larger consumption because of some of these horror films that I'm going to watch. And there are some on this list which I am just going to rewatch because, spoiler, I think they're bloody good and I really would like to revisit them. There's a couple which I'm already looking at which I've been wanting to revisit for a while, but you and I are the same, that we're kind of hardwired sometimes just to look forward at what's coming out rather than taking the time to rewatch stuff we enjoy. So that is going to be next week's episode. But before we get there, you know, in the last week we've watched a lot of stuff, it's been a busy week, but we've had to make sure we stay bloody awesome to make sure we have the levels required to bring you guys the bloody awesome movie podcast. This isn't the pretty good movie podcast or the decidedly average movie podcast. No, bloody awesome. JB, how have you been staying bloody awesome this week?
I put coffee talk, and this is just my new job. We have an office space, and we had a Keurig in our like kitchen area, and they provide like K-cups, but you can bring your own or whatever. But I don't know if it was because I showed up and or if other people were suddenly drinking more coffee. They decided to go old school coffee pot. So now we have a full on coffee pot, just, you know, regular like house 12 cup coffee maker. But it has more and more of us, you know, coming to get coffee. And so we stand around and talk for a few minutes and I don't know anybody yet. So this is an opportunity to get to know people. I'm trying to be better at it. I have two problems I'm fighting with. Is one, I am socially awkward. So if the conversation is not initiated by one of them to me, it's much less likely I will stand and talk.
Same.
And then the other part, though, is I do feel I'm at work and my brain is like, I must be doing work because I'm at work. And that's not really how this job is, because my main job is in a classroom, but my classes are online. So I'm kind of open there. So there's a lot of times where we do have downtime and we are allowed to like explore it and research and use the time however we see fit. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to be a little better at. I did have lunch with some of my colleagues too, which I usually wouldn't have done. They were sitting in the area eating. I was like, is it all right if I join you? They're like, yeah, of course. And it was good for me because that's not in my nature to ask if I can join. So just that whole the idea of like socializing is what I mean here with coffee talk, trying to be better at it and get to know everybody and not, I don't want them to think I'm a jerk. Cause it's not that I'm a jerk. I'm just shy. And I don't want to intrude. Like, I don't want to push boundaries unless you invite me over. If you're like, hey, come talk to us, I will if I'm available, but I don't like to assume that I can just jump in. Like other people do. Good for them. For me, that feels intrusive and I don't like doing that. So that's my bloody awesome for the week.
That is bloody awesome. I like coffee, and depending on who I'm talking to, I like talking as well. I know what you mean, though. If there's many, many times where I'll be at work now or previously when somebody comes into the kitchen or the refectory or the kind of leisure area and you think, oh, Christ, I don't want to stand here. I've got to make a cup of tea. It's going to take me 4 minutes to brew this thing. I can't just stand here in silence. I've got to say something. And you kind of think, well, I hope the other person says something, and then it ends up stammering over your words or saying something completely bonkers. So yeah, like you, need to get better, need to get a coffee pot to make that. But then again, we make tea, so
We have a kettle. Like also, we have a kettle and tea bags at our place. So
I need to send you some real tea bags, actually, some proper tea bags. Or when I come over one day, I'll bring some tea bags and take them to work and show everyone.
Worried about that, though, because I feel like they'll just get thrown in the Boston Harbor.
They will not do. I will not allow it. I'll brew it for you and make you sit there. Sit in there, make you drink it, Clockwork Orange style, eyes wide open. I'll make you drink it.
Matt, before you share yours, while we've been recording, I got a text from David, the editor at Burke Reviews, about a special, because I guess it's National Taco Day or something right now. Oh. And Taco Bell has a Taco Lovers Pass, and I got to tell you about this.
Great already.
I can't buy it. It's not letting me buy it on the app right now, and it's making me mad. But it's $10 for the month, Matt, and you get one taco every day for 30 days.
That's ridiculous.
And the tacos include their soft taco, their soft taco supreme, their spicy potato soft taco, the regular crunchy taco, crunchy taco supreme, or, and the reason that you must do this, is the Los Doritos taco or supreme version of that. And like it the supreme version is 200 calories, so I could just like swing through Taco Bell and that's my snack for the afternoon. I'll take my free taco Taco Bell. It's not technically free because I pay $10 for the month, but it's not letting me buy the pass, Matt. I think either everyone is buying it or like they were not prepared for people to actually want this. And they're like, wait, we were just joking. But I am planning on getting the pass for the month because it sounds fun.
Just, Jesus Christ, I would get two. I can go back in the evening as well. Wow.
Tacos aren't on here. That would be cool.
You know what? I'm going to check whilst I'm discussing my bloody awesome. I'm also going to be checking on my end. Was it called Taco Bell? What's the promotion called?
Hold on.
This is live on the air, guys. This is for you.
Taco Lovers Pass. Yeah, taco apparently it's only available today and tomorrow. So like, it's got to get bought.
God, I can see the American one. I don't know if it's in the UK. I don't know if that's the UK or US. I will check that shortly. But if it's over here in the UK, RIP the work toilet, because I will be getting one of those. Now, my bloody awesome for the week, I'll keep it short and I'll keep it simple because it bleeds into our next show. But John and I get invited to screenings fairly regularly, quite regularly. John is much more proactive than I am in terms of going through them, but man, I don't want to get the train. It's cost me like 15-20 for USD. It cost me $20 a time to get there for us for England. 15-20 pounds as well, $20-25 a time to go and watch the film. The privilege being you get to watch it early, you get to review it, and it's cool. It's a pretty cool perk for the work that we put in, but it costs a lot of money. And there are some films I just don't want to watch. I'm just not interested. Paw Patrol. Thank you so much, Lionsgate. I did say thank you, and I did decline and make up an excuse. But I don't want to go to that one because I'm going to go there, watch it, and come home. But there are some where they put on a bit of a show. And the film that I watched this week, which we're going to talk about, The Exorcist Believer, I was going to go and watch that film regardless. You know, I got early access to it like JB did. Went up to London to watch it with high hopes and an open mind. I knew that they were doing like a little event. You know, they pushed a boat out. They'd hired a deconsecrated old church, set up this huge rig of lights and music and I don't know if it's a priest or like a pope kind of guy swinging this incense thing around. It was wild. Smoke machines everywhere. Free beers, free drinks, free food, and all these other cool stuff and lots of photo opportunities. And I was like, you know what? That sounds great. And like you, I don't often go to those things by myself because I'm just going to stand there like an idiot in the corner. But, you know, I actively got involved in these ones. I used a photo ops, had some pictures taken, and was very pleased that I did actually, because they came out quite well. But just the event in itself was how I stayed bloody awesome. It's been a pretty quiet week and a pretty quiet weekend this week. Actually, I could change. Actually, I stayed bloody awesome by going to watch my kids' first ever dance routine recital in a theatre. I was actually meant to put this one down, but I hadn't received the sheet by then, and I forgot to put it on there. But I went to see my kid. She did she does like a street dance type or fusion dance type thing, and she's done smaller shows. But this one was in a packed out theatre, packed out auditorium, they were in the middle of the lineup, middle of the roster. Came out. And I was sitting at the front row, and her mum was there as well, and her sister's big sister was dancing with her as well, and big sister's dad and his wife were there as well, right at the front row. So when my kid came out, she saw us immediately, which I think probably put her at ease a bit. And then the music hit, and she went for it, and she didn't put a foot out of place, didn't look scared, didn't look nervous, didn't look upset. And I thought, God damn, I wish I could do that. I know you've been on stage before, but there's always that kind of butterflies before. But she didn't show it. And I was so proud. And I'm sitting in the front row and welling up because I'm thinking, my God, this kid's got more talent than I'll ever have. And she's only seven. Very proud father moment. So that is, the event was cool. But how I've been staying bloody awesome was just in The Last Jedi, we are what they grow beyond. And I'm seeing that already. And I was so damn proud. So roll on the next one in a couple of years' time when I'm even older, and you'll crush that one as well. So that is how I've been actually staying bloody awesome this week, JB.
That was a good one, man. I did see your Instagram post, and I was like, heck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, genuinely proud, and it's every parent says the same thing, but I was just struck by that. I was like, man, this is so damn cool. Because you see the journey, you'll know as well, from little kid to each year they grow up, they become their own, a different version of their own selves, and confidence grows or different interests in that. And it's so cool to see the evolution, and I'm loving it. Yeah, very proud moment. And the event in itself with The Exorcist was cool as well. Speaking of, that is going to be our film for next week. Like we've said a few times, we've both seen The Exorcist Believer. Now, spoiler alert, both of our reviews will be out there in the ether. If you want to see what we thought beforehand, it will make for interesting reading. I'm not going to spoil whether I or John are going to go and watch it again beforehand. Either way, we are going to be talking about it next week. The Exorcist Believer is our film for next week. But that's next week. In the meantime, though, we want to know what you thought about Saw X. Don't forget, we have spoken about Saw X today. It feels like a long time ago, but we did talk about it. We want to know what you thought. If you want to find us online, you can head over to X, Twitter, and find us at BAMP_podcast, BAMP_podcast. JB, where are we on Instagram?
At Bloody Awesome Movie Pod.
Yes, sir. Facebook, Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. The reviews also go up on the tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes, so we do contribute to those figures that seem to really upset a lot of people. I don't know why. If you want to find me online, you can do. Just go to whatiwatchtonight.co.uk and search What I Watch Tonight across all of the socials, including Letterboxd. JB, where in the world are you?
I'm at BurkeReviews.com and at BurkeReviews on all the social media platforms, including Letterboxd.
There we go. And speaking of, don't forget about the polls we're putting up for Horror Movie Havoc 2023. We'd love for you guys to get involved. We'd love for your participation in helping us decide which films get through to the next round and subsequently which film is going to be the winner for this year. So do go to our socials, and that's where you'll find the polls. They're going up every day throughout October. It's an undertaking, but we do it for you guys. So join in. We'd love to get your thoughts on that. And if we could be so bold, cap in hand, and also ask, please do give us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast provider of choice, just to get even more listeners in and to get us up those podcast listening lists. We'd be ever so grateful. But until then, with that, guys, as always, stay bloody awesome.
And keep watching movies. Blood, 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 bloody. Blood, 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 bloody. Blood, 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 bloody. Blood, 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 bloody.